Chapter 8. When we awoke, the rain had stopped and the air felt clean and cool. The full moon peered through a gap in the clouds, casting an otherworldly light on the landscape. We spoke in soft whispers, not wishing to disturb the silence that comes after a heavy rain.
"Is it almost midnight?"
I asked.
"I don't know," said Edric, "but it must be getting close."
"Thank you."
"What for?"
"For bringing me here when you really didn't want to. I know how you feel about seeing the old witch again, but you said you'd help me, and you have. Thank you."
"You're welcome. You know, of course, that my motives are not completely unselfish. I want to be turned back into a human, too. Even so, I know of a way you could thank me."
"And what's that?" I asked, certain I already knew the answer.
"You could kiss me."
He puckered his lips and stretched his neck to bring his head close to mine.
"At a time like this? The witch could be here any moment."
"But I don't want to kiss her," said Edric.
"I didn't..." "Listen," said Edric. "I think I hear something."
It came again. Someone was approaching and making no effort to be quiet.
"Look, that must be her," whispered Edric.
A light bobbed across the uneven ground. The sound of footsteps slogging through the muck could be clearly heard in the still night air. As the witch approached, the full moon outlined her silhouette, yet did little to illuminate her face. The light of the lantern she carried had been focused toward the ground by the use of movable shutters, leaving her face in relative darkness. Indistinctly seen in the moonlight, the woman resembled a ghostly apparition. Her wild, uncombed hair hung loosely about her shoulders. She wore long, dark garments that dragged on the ground, snagging twigs and muck as she walked. Trying to get up the courage to approach her, Edric and I cowered under the berry bush. The witch drew near, intent on her midnight search.
"Hurry," I told him. "She'll be gone and we'll have lost our chance."
"I'm not sure I should," said Edric. "I have a bad feeling about this. Our last meeting didn't end very well."
"Please go. It's why we're here," I said. "I'll go with you. Just be nice and discreet this time. Remember, no sarcastic comments."
"Fine, if you'll stop making up rules. It'll be hard enough as it is."
Together, we hopped into the witch's path. When the light of the lantern reached us, we covered our eyes against the glare.
"Ma'am," called Edric, "we need to talk to you. It's urgent."
The witch stopped short and set the lantern on the ground.
"You might remember me. I'm Prince Edric," he said warily, trying to see the witch past the brilliance of the light. "We met here one night and had a short conversation. I said something about your sense of style, and you turned me into a frog."
"Go on," said the witch.
"You said I'd stay a frog until a princess kissed me, but I did, and nothing happened. You have to do something."
"What do you mean, nothing happened?" I exclaimed. "I turned into a frog, too. I think that's a pretty big something."
"This is Princess Emeralda. She's the one who kissed me."
"This wasn't supposed to happen," I said. "You must have done something wrong when you cast the spell."
"Shh, Emma," whispered Edric. "Don't make her mad. And you told me to be discreet."
"But I..."
Edric cleared his throat and turned back to the witch.
"We didn't come to accuse anyone of anything. We just need your help fixing it."
"Really? And how would I do that?"
the witch asked in a friendly voice. Encouraged, I couldn't keep the words from tumbling out.
"Just turn us back into humans, and I'll see that you're handsomely rewarded. My parents will do anything to get me back."
"Is that so? And I'm the lucky witch you chose to talk to. My, oh my,"
she said, her voice losing its sweet tone. "You picked the wrong one tonight, froggies. Or should I call you your royal highnesses?" In one swift motion, the woman dropped the sack she'd been carrying and swooped down on us, snatching us off the ground and raising us to eye level. She studied us intently, turning us over and examining us from top to bottom.
Such nice, strong specimens. You two will do just fine.
For the first time, we could see the woman's face. She was young. Her long, frizzy hair had been dyed black and showed mouse-brown roots. Her eyes were dark and sunken, her cheeks gaunt and her skin pale. Everything she wore was black, from her long, threadbare dress and ratty shawl to her worn leather shoes.
"Emma," Edric whispered in a horrified voice, "it's not her. This isn't the witch who did it."
"You're a smart froggy, aren't you, Prince? I've never turned anyone into a frog, but I've been looking for two frogs like you. Your bad luck is my good fortune. Two talking frogs in one night. My luck has finally changed."
The witch hummed happily as she opened the sack and dropped us in. I landed on my back, wiggling and twisting. I tried to turn myself over. It was dark inside the sack, with an overwhelming musty smell. I scrabbled for a handhold on the coarse cloth, wishing I had my bracelet with me. Even the small amount of light it gave off would have been helpful. A moment later, the woman lifted the sack and we tumbled to the bottom, where we lay in a tangled heap.
"Ow!" moaned Edric, rubbing the side of his head. "Watch your elbow, will you?"
"Sorry," I said. "But I didn't hit you on purpose. Maybe if we sat up..." I kicked the sack, the weight of our bodies making the fabric taut, but my leg bounced off and caught Edric squarely in the stomach.
"Oh!"
he said, doubling over. "Sorry," I said again. "Are you all right?" I'd knocked the breath out of him, so it took a moment for him to answer. When he did, he was wheezing, and I felt awful.
"I'll be just fine. If you'll hold still," he said.
I inched away, trying to put some space between us, but being inside a sack didn't make it easy. The sack began to move, swaying like a pendulum with each of the witch's steps. As she walked, she muttered to herself in a voice too low for me to understand. Suddenly, she stopped and set the sack roughly on the ground. Edric and I could hear her trudge away, although she didn't go far.
"Quick," I said. "See if you can open the top of the bag. Maybe we can get out while she's gone."
Edric shifted his weight beside me. I tensed, trying to keep out of his way while he reached toward the top of the sack.
"It's no use," he said a moment later. "She's tied the top shut."
"Never mind. The way our luck has been running, she'll probably be back soon anyway."
"Can you believe that witch? She doesn't care who we are. It looks like we're more valuable to her as talking frogs than we are as royalty. What are we going to do, Edric?"
"I really am sorry about this," began Edric. "If I hadn't tried to get you to kiss me, I never would have met the best friend I've ever had."
"You're not the only one responsible for this. No one made me kiss you. And if it weren't for me, we wouldn't have come out here to talk with the witch. So stop feeling guilty and help me figure out a way to get through this."
"Maybe if we move to the opposite sides of the bag,
we'll roll together again like we did last time. At least if we start out near each other, we won't bump together as hard when she picks up the sack."
"I have an even better idea," said Edric. "If I hold on to you, we won't roll into each other at all."
"Fine," I said. "We could try that. And while I'm there, you might as well give me a kiss."
"What? Who knows what that witch has in mind? She might toss us in a cauldron of boiling water, or feed us to a pet dragon. This may be our last chance to show how we feel about each other."
"Show how we... Are you crazy? Kissing you is the last thing I want to do right now."
"Hey, it sounded like a good idea to me."
"I told you," I said, getting exasperated. "I don't want to take any chances."
I could feel the ground vibrate as the witch returned. She opened the sack suddenly and the moonlight poured in.
"Do you think we could make a run for it?" I whispered in Edric's eardrum.
"Because if she...
A small, thorn-covered plant fell on us. The wet mud encasing the roots dripped in sour-smelling globs onto our heads. Sputtering, I covered my face with my hands.
"Ow!" wailed Edric. "Those thorns are sharp!"
I spit out a mouthful of mud.
"Try not to talk. That stuff tastes terrible."
The witch jerked the sack off the ground and carried it a few yards. She opened the top again, but only long enough to drop in a handful of leaves. I cringed, having recognized the shape of the poison oak leaf at once, but it was too late, and I knew it. "I'm in for it now," I thought. Even the briefest contact with poison oak gave me a rash, and now my back was covered with the leaves. When the witch picked up the sack, Edric and I tensed our muscles, waiting for the next impact with the ground. But the sack continued to sway in the witch's hands as she slogged across the marshy ground. After a while, Edric began to groan.
"What's wrong?" I asked. "Is it the thorns?"
"No,"
whispered Edric.
"Is it the mud?"
"No,"
whispered Edric.
"Then what is it?"
"It's this swaying back and forth," he said. "I don't feel very well."
"Take a deep breath and think of something else, and please face the other way if you're going to be sick."
If the witch's house had been any farther, we might not have made it. As it was, Edric was groaning loudly long before the witch opened her cottage door, and I was worried that he wasn't going to survive the trip. He was groaning so much that if he didn't die of bag sickness first, I was going to strangle him to put him out of his misery. I wondered if all male frogs were such babies when they were sick, or only the ones who used to be princes. I was still trying to block out Edric's moans by covering my eardrums with my hands when the witch set her lantern down with a clang. Reaching into the sack, she grabbed us and shoved us into a small wicker cage. My head spinning, I lay on the cage floor while she slammed the door shut and fastened a complicated latch.
"There," she said. "That should hold you until I'm ready."
"Ready for what?"
I asked the witch as my head cleared. The woman ignored me and emptied her sack onto a rickety table in the middle of the room.
"Yoo-hoo! Witchy! Ready for what?"
Edric echoed me in a shaky voice. The witch turned her back on our cage and took off her shawl.
"Has anyone ever told you that you're very rude?" Edric asked, his voice getting stronger. "You kidnap us, lock us in a cage without an explanation, and expect us to be nice, well-behaved frogs. Obviously, you don't know me. I don't take anything quietly."
"Edric, shh," I hissed at him. "You'll make things worse."
"How can it get worse than this? We were better off as free frogs happily living in the swamp. Now we're stuck here with Rudella the witch, and we don't even know why. Hey, witchy, answer me. What do you want with us?"
When the witch continued to ignore him, Edric got a funny look in his eyes.
"No witch is going to ignore me for long," he whispered in my eardrum. "Watch this."
He thought for a minute, then planted his hands firmly on his middle and called out,
"Hey, witchy. You're so ugly that you don't have to dye your clothes. One look at you and they die on their own."
I could see the witch's back stiffen, but that wasn't enough for Edric. He winked at me, then shouted,
"I know why you don't have any mirrors in this place. You got tired of cleaning up the broken glass."
With a cry of rage, the witch whirled around, scowling ferociously.
"Listen, your royal lowness. I don't like frogs, and I like princes even less. I suggest you keep your rubbery little lips shut if you ever want to see the light of day again. Now lock those lips, sit down, and don't move. I'll be right back."
Taking a small vial from a shelf, the witch stomped out the door.
"You couldn't be quiet, could you?"
I asked. "If that was the kind of thing you said to the other witch, it's no wonder she turned you into a frog. And now you've gotten a second witch mad at you. Who knows what she's going to do?"
"She doesn't care what I say,"
What can we do? We're in a cage for frog's sake. If we annoy her enough, maybe she'll let us go.
Or kill us so she doesn't have to listen to you, I said.
Edric and I were glowering at each other when the witch returned with a freshly unearthed nightcrawler in her hand. With a gleam in her eye, she dropped the dirt-flecked worm through the bars of our cage and set the vial back on the shelf.
There you go, she said in a syrupy voice. Have a bedtime snack. Get some sleep and don't worry so much. Too much stress can make you sick, and we don't want that now, do we?
With that, the witch blew out the lantern and shuffled across the room. Tiptoeing to the side of the cage, I listened as the witch kicked off her shoes and settled back on an old straw-filled mattress. Seconds later, her breathing evened out in sleep.
"Do you want some?" Edric said through a mouthful of worm.
I spun around in surprise.
"What are you doing? I thought you were sick to your stomach. You shouldn't eat any of that. It might be poisoned. Spit it out. Spit it out right now."
"Are you kidding? This is delicious. It's not poisoned. Here, try some."
"Great," I said. "I'm stuck in a cage with an idiot who eats food given to him by a witch and will probably be dead by morning."
"Hey, I'm not the one who's going to bed hungry. You are such a worrier. I've eaten half of this worm already, and I still feel fine. If you're sure you don't want any, I'm going to finish the worm and get some sleep. We'll think of a way to get out of this in the morning. Now leave me alone and let me enjoy my worm in peace. Unlike someone else around here, I know how to appreciate the finer things in life."
Furious, I went to the back of the cage, as far from Edric as I could get, and tried to shut out the sound of munching. Although Edric was soon asleep, I was too restless to lie down. I paced the width of the cage, the gritty floor crunching beneath my feet, but I couldn't sleep, and I couldn't come up with an escape plan either. After a while, I stopped talking to myself and listened to the sounds of the night. I'd heard something stirring at the other end of the room, a dry rustle that could have been caused by just about anything. Then something else moved overhead until it seemed to be right above me. Whatever else was in the room, I wasn't the only one who was awake. Suddenly, I had something else to make me nervous. Not knowing who or what might be there, I hunched down in the middle of the cage, hoping that the bars were as effective at keeping creatures out as they were at keeping us in. When I finally drifted off to sleep, it was to dreams of my family's dungeon and large, frog-eating worms that made me itch when they touched me.